1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter. A lot of truth in it, a lot to digest. As I was reading it fairly recently, this verse spoke to me, and I hope it'll speak to you this morning. Verse number 32. I'd like to speak on the subject of living like there's no tomorrow. Living like there's no tomorrow. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you and hear your word together. Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what you want and how you want. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me as that I can be a messenger for you today. Lord, I pray that you'd open up each heart and mind, Lord, those things that are perhaps burdening us or a stress upon our minds. I pray that you would just allow us to tune in to your word and to your voice this morning. Lord, help us not to let those things be a hindrance to hearing from you, Lord. We know that you have the answers, and perhaps you have an answer or many answers for people today, Lord, that if they would just listen and be open, they would hear. So, Lord, help us not to just to listen. Help us to truly hear and to heed your word today. Guide and direct in this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Question, do you live as if there's no tomorrow? I think about that. Let me put it a different way, maybe to be clearer. Do you live as if there's no eternity? When I think about living as if there's no tomorrow, I'm not saying living as if you could die tomorrow. We know that could be the case. But more so, living like there's no eternity. Some live that way by choice. Others live that way, unfortunately, by ignorance, meaning they just don't know that there's an eternity to worry about. Regardless, I want us to be challenged this morning to examine how we live and see whether we live like there's no tomorrow. As I read this passage and as I read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul is talking about the resurrection, that thought came to mind. Am I living like there's no tomorrow, or am I living understanding that there is a future for everyone? Not just an immediate future, but for all eternity. The Apostle Paul is the human writer of this book of the Bible, which is a letter to the church in the city of Corinth. One problem he ran into with these believers, and he ran into many problems with these believers that he tried to sort out through this letter and through other means, but one problem he ran into with these particular believers is that there were some among them who were denying that Jesus rose from the dead, and thereby denying that anyone will rise from the dead. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they believed essentially that this present life was all that they had. And Paul makes the case that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead and the dead won't rise beyond death, then there's no hope for the future. And so we want to consider some thoughts from this passage this morning that I thought would be helpful, that spoke to me almost immediately as I was reading this, that I think would be a help to us as we consider living like there's no tomorrow. And I hope this doesn't describe any of us. You say, but I'm a Christian. I know I have eternal life. I believe in eternity. But we know, you know just as well as I do, in our own lives and the lives of others, that believing it and living it's two different things. And so I want to encourage us not to live like there's no tomorrow, but to rather live understanding the eternity to come. The first thing I see here, that if we live like there's no tomorrow, which of course we're speaking as a negative thing, then our effort is pointless. If we live like there's no tomorrow, our effort is pointless. Look at verse 32. Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? He said, how does it bring any kind of advantage or benefit to me to fight with the beasts at Ephesus, to suffer what he suffered at the hand of opposers, to suffer what he suffered to follow Jesus and to preach Jesus and to live for Jesus? What advantage is it? What use is it? What good is it if the dead rise not? My effort is pointless. In other words, if there's no eternity, why preach the gospel? Why endure persecution? Why labor for Christ where much effort is needed if the dead rise not? If you and I live like there's no tomorrow, then trying to do right, trying to follow Jesus, resisting temptation and laboring for God's glory is a big waste of time. Unfortunately, we can fall into the trap of living like that, can't we? Like our effort for Christ is pointless. Many a Christian has come to the end of something and said, well, this just really isn't worth it to follow Jesus. This really isn't worth it to put all this effort into the Christian life. And so they back off, or we call it backsliding. Or they take a step back and say, that's just too much for me. I'm not going to give that much. I'm not going to go that much. I'm not going to labor that much. And they begin to back off because they begin to think, because of a earthly mindset, my effort is pointless. Unfortunately, that's not the case, though. Many today live without much effort towards God's purpose for them. Some, even Christians, will put more effort toward earthly pursuits than eternal pursuits. And the question is for us, are we living like there's no tomorrow? Mark reminds us in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You say, I'm saved, I won't lose my own soul. Well, you can lose your joy. You can lose your usefulness for God. You can lose rewards in heaven. You can lose the approval of God. There is an eternity. Our labor for the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed useful. You say, but I don't see it. You don't have to see it for it to be useful. There's someone else that sees it. God. One day we will rise to be with Him. 1 Corinthians 15:58, in the same chapter, it tells us that our effort isn't pointless. One of my favorite verses, one of the first verses I claimed as I served the Lord to remember, to encourage me, and to strengthen me. I guess you could say somewhat of a life verse. It says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Someone who lives like there's no tomorrow is going to say, well, my effort for Christ, putting too much effort in the things of God, putting too much time or resources or investment into the things of God. Well, no, that's too much. It's pointless. It's not pointless. Your labor for God is not in vain. So we're encouraged to keep pressing forward. We're encouraged to stay steadfast. We're encouraged to be unmovable in your convictions, unmovable in your direction, unmovable in those principles God's given you to live by according to His Word, unmovable in your service for God, unmovable in the purpose God's given you for your life, unmovable in that calling He's given you, unmovable, steadfast, always abounding. Abounding doesn't mean continuing with the same. It means adding more, putting more effort, putting more passion, putting more zeal. Normally what happens is the zeal drains off, the passion goes away, the effort begins to wane. But no, He said, hey, keep pressing forward. And I don't think it's necessarily about physical exertion as much as your mindset and your heart. Just continuing to serve God, continuing to live for Him, continuing to do what's right, continuing to follow Him. He said, I don't see it. It doesn't matter. God sees it. And He says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Someone who doesn't have that mindset will say, well, my effort for Christ is pointless, which is why many Christians don't put much effort into that which is eternal. Because they think that effort's pointless. It doesn't give you points on earth. More importantly, it lays up rewards in heaven. Galatians 6:9 echoes that, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, my well-doing isn't doing me so well. Hey, don't be weary in it. For in due season. You say, when's that? I don't know. God determines the seasons. In due season, I know this, it's generally not right away. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You'll faint if you're living like there's no tomorrow. You'll faint, and I'll faint if we think in this life only we have hope. But if we realize there's an eternity, and listen, rewards may not come till heaven. You say, but I want them on earth. It doesn't work that way. God determines that. But realize this, your effort isn't pointless. Your work isn't in vain. What you do for God or for others is not unseen. In fact, Jesus, how many times in the book of Revelation, as He's talking about the churches of Galatia, tells us, I've seen your works. Jesus says, I've seen your labor. I've seen your travail. I've seen what you've done. So even if nobody else sees it, that doesn't matter. God sees it. If we're living like there's no tomorrow, then we'll think that our effort is pointless. I hope that's none of us this morning, but we can get that way, can't we? Even Christians can get that way. And you've probably gotten that way at some time in your Christian life. You said, well, my effort is pointless. No, it's not. If you haven't, when you begin to get in a worldly mindset, when you begin to focus on earthly things more than eternal, you can begin to think that way very easily. Because things of this earth, you can do and get some immediate gratification from it. Get an immediate applause. Get an immediate accolade or pat on the back. But when you're looking at eternity, God determines the reward. God determines the reaping. God determines when the time is. And so let's not consider this morning that our effort is pointless, because it's not. If you live like tomorrow, you think your effort is pointless. If you live like tomorrow, listen to me, this is a very relevant point to today. If you live like tomorrow, then our entertainment is priority. Then our entertainment is priority. If you live like tomorrow, our effort is pointless. I don't want to serve Christ. I don't want to put too much effort. It doesn't yield the results I'm looking for. It doesn't give me the accolades that I need. It doesn't give me the appearance of success. I don't know that anybody's watching. Well, that's one way to live like tomorrow. Another is entertainment is priority. Verse 32 says this. Let us eat and drink. It said, if after the manner of man I fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantage? I got to say that slow because I say it fast. I don't get all the letters in. Advantage if it me, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink. Let's have a party. Focus on entertainment. Listen, I'm not against rest and entertainment and doing things that are fun. Certainly we need those times of refreshment and rest in our life. But when you have an earthly mentality, our entertainment is our priority. Paul says here, if this is the case, that the dead rise not, let's live it up in this life only, because that's all we have hope in. He said we should enjoy it. He said we should cast off restraint. He said we should do what we feel rather than what's right. He's saying, hey, we should place a great value on pleasure and entertainment. He said we should live in the moment. Oh my, doesn't that sound like the philosophy of many today? Would you agree with that? Amen. Just looking for some talking back. When you live like there's no tomorrow, entertainment becomes priority. Oh, listen, many people make millions and billions and gazillions of dollars off entertainment. Many Christians, many people spend much of their income, much of their budget on entertainment. And I'm not saying a little entertainment is bad. There's rest and refreshment God gives us. But when that becomes our priority, we have messed up priorities. May the Lord help us as followers of Christ who believe in the resurrection to never have that kind of mindset. We must live on earth with eternity in view. Everything we do, all that we invest in, is it going to last for just this lifetime or will it last for eternity? I would think if it's something that lasts for eternity, we ought to make that somewhat of a focus in our life. Somewhat of a priority to focus on things that are of eternal value, just things that will just last a little pleasure for a season. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, nothing wrong with those things, but when you begin to put that entertainment and those things on earth above the things of God, there's a problem. There's an unbalanced life. There's a wrong use of priorities. In explaining the attitude of people in the last days, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's a shame if that's a Christian's mindset. That we love pleasure more than God. That we love the things of the world more than we love the things of the church. That we love entertainment more than we love the things of eternity. That shouldn't be a Christian's mindset. Shame on us if it is. Shame on me if it is. Listen, how much time, effort, and money we put into that which entertains and pleases us in this earthly life. We won't think anything of dropping a couple $1,000s on some kind of entertainment and pleasure for ourselves. But think about doing that into something eternal for the work of God. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's a struggle. Why is that? Because when we're consumed and our thoughts are more upon that which is earthly and pleasurable. That'd be fine if the dead didn't rise not. Hey, I would say live it up, and why not? We might as well just get rid of it if there's no eternal value in things. But that's not the case, is it? We know better as Christians. We have the Bible. We're saved. We claim we're going to heaven. We have eternity in view. And then we should understand that eternity and eternal values are most crucial. Oh, how much time, effort, and money, I'll say it again, we put into that which entertains us and pleases us in this earthly life. And oh, how little time, effort, and money we often put into that which is eternal. Charles Spurgeon said something. He said, I have never yet heard regrets from dying men that they had done too much for Christ or lived too earnestly for him or won too many souls or given too much of their substance to the cause of God. But the regrets all lie the other way. God save us from them for his mercy's sake. Not too many that say, man, I wish I really regret that I served God. I really regret that I remove that sin out of my life. I really regret that I talked to that person about Jesus. You don't hear too many regrets on a Christian's deathbed of that. Man, I really regret that I didn't spend more time with entertaining myself. But you know what most Christians regret on their deathbed is I really regret that I spent money there and not here. I really regret that I didn't spend time with a family. I really regret that I didn't give more to the work of God. I really regret that I didn't talk to that person about Jesus. I really regret that I didn't live out what I really believed and saw eternity coming. If we're living like there's no tomorrow, we will consider our entertainment as priority. We do well sometimes to really look at our budget, see what we spend the most money on. Look at our time and chart our time and where do we spend the most time. Most of us may be work. Because obviously we have to work and supply for ourselves. I understand that. But comparatively, how much time do we spend on eternal things, on the work of God, in Christ's service? So we have living like there's no tomorrow. This is kind of a hard message because we're so earthbound. But I remind us we're pilgrims just traveling through. That'll help change your perspective. I'm reminding myself, we're just a passing through. This life is relatively short compared to eternity. You think of just a small span of time of someone's life compared to eternity, which goes on forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I want to spend more of my resources, more of my time. I want to invest more in eternity than in the earthly things. I like to have a good time. I like to eat good food. I like to do something that's fun and relaxing. But if that's all I'm focusing on, if that's what I'm yearning for, if that's my priority, and I forget about all these, that's just gonna blow up in smoke when you die. That's gonna be useless, vain. It's helpful for the time. But where's our mindset when it comes to tomorrow? Our effort is pointless if we're living like there's no tomorrow. Our entertainment is priority. And thirdly, our end is predictable. For tomorrow we die. Not much to look forward to. If that's the case, yeah, eat and drink. If that's the case, yeah, do what you want to do. If that's the case, don't worry about being accountable to anybody because you're not, if that's the case, if the dead rise not. Tomorrow you die, you go in the ground, and that's it. Unfortunately, many people think that way. You may talk to someone that says, do you believe in heaven and hell? They may say, no, we just go into the ground, and that's it, we're done. Many people, many different religions believe in some sort of afterlife. Of course, we have the Bible to tell us the truth. But there's some that just believe that's the end. You go down and get in the ground and that's all. So live it up. And I can understand living it up in this life and doing whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy, whatever feels good, if that was the truth. I would be right there with you. Our end is predictable. We know regardless of whether we believe in eternity or not, death is certain. Because we can see that. We know people pass away. We understand that we don't live forever. No matter how much we try to find ways to continue our life on and on and on, we don't live forever. Death is certain someday. We know it's real and it will strike every person. If that is all we have to look forward to, then we might as well live like Paul describes. Whatever brings the most happiness, whatever brings the most satisfaction, regardless of whether right or wrong, or someone thinks it's right or wrong, but that is not the case. We know there's eternal life to consider in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We must stand before God one day to give account of our life. And when we understand that, that'll help dictate how we're going to live this life. We understand we don't go to heaven by our works and by what we do, except for the fact of trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we will stand before him one day and give account of our life and either gain reward or lose rewards based on our faithfulness to our Savior. Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of us will give account of himself to God. You say, but so-and-so Christian, they're living like this. Well, they'll be accountable to God. Don't worry about them. They're not your excuse when you stand before God. Well, everybody just seems to be going that way. The majority is not going to be your excuse when you stand before God. Yeah, but this guy, he's real smart, and he said this. He's not going to be your excuse. But the preacher preached that. They're not going to be your excuse. We like to put blame on other people and say, well, no, they're doing that and they're doing this, so I think it's okay. I'm not as bad, or I'm not doing that, or they said to do that. You're going to give account of yourself to God. You have a standard. What's that standard by which you'll give account? The Word of God. So, our end is predictable, and we'll all stand before God. George Whitefield, evangelist, said, take care of your life, and the Lord will take care of your death. As you understand what true life is through Jesus Christ and follow him, you don't have to worry about what happens when you die. We can trust his promise of eternal life. God, who cannot lie, promised to us eternal life. We don't have to worry about that. But we do have to understand one day we will die and stand before him. And though our end's predictable, we can understand that life continues. When we die, it's not the end. It's just the beginning of eternity. If we live like there's no tomorrow, if we think our end is predictable, we'll come to the end of our life unprepared to meet God. And we've got to be careful with this mindset. Paul says, if after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? The whole premise of what he's saying, if you go back to verse number 12, it says, now if Christ be preached, chapter 15, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? As I said in the beginning, the context of this is there were some who were saying there's no resurrection of the dead. So Christ didn't rise and these things didn't happen. And so he's combating that. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Your whole belief in Christ, your whole faith falls apart if that's the case. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What you're doing, following Jesus and believing what he did and putting effort toward living for him and reaching others and fulfilling his mission and investing in things of eternal value, that's a big waste of time. I don't want to waste my time. If I only have a short time on earth and I die and that's it, of course, I don't want to waste my time knowing there's an eternity as well. I'll be accountable to God. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Their integrity comes into question. Their honesty comes into question. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so the dead die, if so the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. There's no forgiveness if Christ didn't rise from the dead. He's just another man dying for a cause. So what's the point of trying to live for him? What's the point of, we don't have his gospel power to work in us and through us. We're still in our sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What a horrible thought. Those that have gone before in Christ, that have passed, there's no hope for them. There's no hope of ever seeing them again. They're just in the ground and that's it. What a miserable life and way to think about life and death if we don't believe that there's something of eternal consequence. In this life only, verse 19 says, we have hope in Christ. For this life only, we have hope in a Savior who died, and that's it. A good man, preacher, did miracles. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, there's no hope for the future, there's no resurrection, there's no eternal life, there's no heaven, then we are of all men most miserable. I think that's why, even though there may be some that try to live like there's no tomorrow, with thinking their effort is pointless and entertainment is priority and the end is predictable, those that live like that are generally, in their hearts, discontent and miserable. So they may not say it. They may look like they're having a party. They're living the life. They're living their dream. They're happy. But inside, there's still something missing. Inside, there's still a desire to know their Creator. Inside, there's still a hole in their heart, knowing that it can only be filled, or not knowing, perhaps, that it can only be filled by God. We're really most miserable. And you come across someone that says, no, you just go into the grave and that's it. There's nothing after. You're going to find out they're probably struggling within. They're probably at a place of unrest and a lack of peace in their life and heart. Always trying to fill it with the pleasures and entertainment of this world. Always trying to do something that piles upon their own desires and wants, but never coming to the place to say, I need something more. Question this morning is this: are you living like there's no tomorrow? If you're without Jesus Christ as your Savior, of course, you must turn from your sin and by faith call upon Jesus, and He'll give you eternal life. And you know what? His Spirit within will let us know and witness to us there is eternity. Will witness to us of the Lord Jesus Christ and that He is alive. If you're a Christian, remember, eternity is something we must consider. And not just consider, we must conform our lives with the understanding that there's something of more value. There's something beyond what we can see in this life. Have you come to the point in your life where you're saying maybe your effort for Christ is pointless? Or I'm just going to live it up. I think entertainment is priority. Or when you think the end is predictable and there's just no hope in thinking about that, perhaps you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you'd recognize there is hope. Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.